The next church along our virtual way, as we remember the year 2002, is Killesk Church near Duncannon, South Wexford. And going to Killesk Church reminds me not just of itself and those who worship and visit there, but in a way how they get there. And that part of the world used to give me opportunities for occasional joyful rides on the South Wexford line over the Barrow Estuary. Now no more, I'm fear, in terms of regular passenger service. But one thing that is still adjacent to Killesk, not far down the road from it, is the Ballyhack to Passage East car ferry, which is a great way of crossing the estuary, a great way for tourists to travel to the Hook Peninsula. And I always like, when I'm in that part of the world, to find an excuse to use the ferry and to relish the some of the views that can be gained from on board. In 2002, we had the introduction of the euro as cash in the hand, as it were. It had already been the, as it were, the notional currency of the state, but the Irish pound remained in practical circulation until the end of 2001. But the cash introduction of the euro in 2002 caused us to rejoice in our passionate embrace of the European project, including on a financial level once again, although there were a few doubters. It was a wondrously well-organised changeover, even at Christmas. Those who worked in banks described withdrawing the old coins for melting down and conveying them out of the public part of the branch. The bank branch is almost using wheelbarrows. The inflationary effects of transition were largely avoided, which had been so feared at the time of decimalisation, as I mentioned, in 1971. And although we missed our distinctive coins and notes, we rejoiced that we could go to Athens. Perhaps that was ominous in the light of economic developments, but we could go there without changing our money, even though this didn't apply to Newry. But some interesting consequences arose. Clearly, we bound our economic bargaining future very much to countries with a very strong financial position, such as Germany. And so when the crash came, we'd lost any flexibility to do traditional things like devaluing. It was interesting in the church and in the charitable sector. Ireland was one of the few countries where the new basic unit was worth less than the old unit. €5 was a lot less in terms of actual value than £5. And so the churches and the charitable sector here had to work hard to ensure they maintained their income, that people who'd been used to giving you a tenner didn't go on giving you just a tenner. All of it was interesting for coin collectors. Soon, it seems, our 1 cent and 2 cent will virtually disappear with the custom of rounding up or rounding down. I always think there's an unfairness for those who don't use cash, because sometimes you can have an advantageous rounding down if you're paying cash, but it doesn't apply if you're using a card, yet we're meant to be incentivizing card use, but that's an eccentric point. But some of the coins, the very small value ones, are probably likely to become rare. Right from the start, for example, the Finnish 1 cent was apparently a great rarity. They only printed a few of them in order to kind of do their duty. And also, of course, there are coins from countries that are not in the EU or the Eurozone, but have been permitted to align, for example, the Vatican and Andorra. With all of this, I always get a bit of nostalgia for the coin and stamp collecting world of school days. I'm still not sure if I could recognise the coins of all the Eurozone countries by looking at the design on the rear than the back. Anyway, ages and empires will pass. One day our present and not so long ago new coinage would become the stuff of archaeology. It's funny to think of archaeologists digging it all up and piecing it together one day. When I was a student in medieval history, I encountered the person and the work of a very impressive historian of numismatics, one Michael Dolley, and he taught us that numismatics are no mean science, and indeed what it includes not just the study of coins, but of other payment methods used to resolve debts and exchange goods. So the study of transferable wealth and of coinage is a great social window, sometimes on considerable economic assets, sometimes when you think of things people bartered and used to get the most basic needs in life, sometimes it could show humanity at its most pathetic.